There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday, live from Montgomery and live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad to have you along. And yeah, continuing today and tomorrow, a special session going on talking about infrastructure and the gas tax here in Montgomery. And we're bringing you the information as it rolls out. And it seems to be very, very busy right now in special session, to the point that this man just came over from a hearing or a committee meeting. It's State Senator District 32. Chris Elliott. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, what was it? What were you at?
So we had the Transportation Committee meeting in the Senate this morning, and then went into session for a very brief period of time, and the House is just wrapping up their Transportation Committee meeting where the bill was it up for in committee.
Right, so that bill is now, and so we'll go back to civics for a second here for folks that haven't followed this. So this is in the House right now. They're working it. They have to do certain things before it comes to you in the Senate. What is that?
Sure, so it's a revenue bill.
Okay.
And that means it has to start in the House. So it has done that. It was introduced. It's in committee today. It will likely be on the floor tomorrow for debate in the House. And then,
is that one of the readings we've heard of? Is that a reading of the bill?
Well, the tomorrow, if I'm correct on this, and I believe I am, tomorrow will be the likely the vote on the bill tomorrow.
Okay.
In the House, so we'll know whether or not the Senate's going to take this matter up or not. At this point, I don't know whether.
Are y'all in the Senate? You're working like you're going to see this bill.
Well, we are, but in the Senate we had our committee meeting this morning, and the committee meeting that we had took up a very important bill that was then introduced as well in the House today, and that is Senator Chambliss's bill that deals with accountability, and that's an important part of this mix.
Yeah, and this talking to Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh about it this morning, he pointed that out. I think it's worth repeating because this is the teeth, this is the enforcement that goes along with the revenue.
That's exactly right. And it's important to note, we need to pass this bill regardless of whether or not.
So you're a yes vote.
I'm a yes on Senator Chambliss's accountability bill.
Okay.
That's coming first. Now we'll get to the other in a second. But that's an important first step. It absolutely must happen. And it's something that Senator Chambliss and I have been working on, and he's been working on with a lot of others for months now. And that is to make sure that ALDOT's doing what they need to be doing with the money. Now, that's not saying they're not. It's just making sure that they are. And it provides some mechanisms for the legislature to have some oversight on that and provides mechanisms.
What's the situation right now, so we can compare and contrast? So how does it work now?
So that committee exists, but unfortunately that committee hasn't really met for quite some time, and there's been some politics going on. What Senator Chambliss does is, and his bill is, really take a lot of the politics out of that. And he says for the rest of the quadrennium, here are the meeting dates and here are the meeting times. It's not at the call of the chair. There's no funny business going on.
Right.
It's just as clear as a bell. You're going to know.
Second Tuesday of the month or whatever.
Exactly. Quarterly meetings, when this is due. Everybody's got plenty of time to review it and look at it. The oversight will be taking place on any transportation dollars, including what's existing and any future.
If this goes through, let's say this goes through as does the spending or the revenue portion of this, will this be retroactive to where the oversight committee will also look at the dollars already apportioned to ALDOT, or will it just be on the new dollars?
Well, it will be on all of the dollars apportioned to ALDOT, and it will really advise and consent, if you will, on the on the state transportation plan, mm-hmm. the long-term plan on how ALDOT's using that money, where it's going. You know, the legislature appropriates that money, but then doesn't have a whole lot of say down the line on where it goes. Well, this has more say in the legislature having more say in exactly where that goes.
Looking at it would be as specific as, hey, we're looking at a 181 project, or would it be specific to that road, like back home?
It's exactly that, and that's the goal, is to look at specific projects and to make sure that we are paying attention to and helping set, and that's the important thing, helping set the priorities for the executive branch.
Will you be able to look at it? Because so many people that have called me, have texted, have emailed, are worried about that the money's being wasted. The ALDOT's wasting the money. That there's enough money, we don't need to do this because we're wasted money. Now, I don't know without a full audit where that is, but would you be able to say, look at that and say, why does this road project cost this much? Is that what could happen with this oversight?
Oh, absolutely. And you know me as a former county commissioner. That's something that's in my blood. That's in my DNA. That's what I've been doing for the last 4.5 years in Baldwin County, and that's what I'm going to continue to do here, is scrutinizing every project, scrutinizing every dollar, and making sure that we're squeezing it just as tight as we can, that we're getting all the asphalt, all the concrete out of it that we possibly can. So, yes, this joint transportation committee has a lot more teeth in it to do just that. And I think this scrutiny, if you will, has been welcomed by ALDOT. They want more participation, and they want more buy-in for their plan and what they're doing. It simplifies that plan a little bit. It requires certain reporting at certain times. It makes it easier on ALDOT, and it certainly makes it easier on the legislature and the citizens to voice their concerns and make their voice heard on where these dollars are spent and how they're spent.
Well, speaking of the citizens, so can going forward, will we be able to see these projects? Can we go look at this stuff?
That 5-year plan, the STIP is what it's called, the State Transportation Improvement Plan, and there's a little bit of a clarification in the bill going from a generic 5-year plan to the STIP, but that STIP will be available online. It'll be where anybody can go look at it. You can see projected costs. You can see projected time frames. You can see projected prioritization. This is meant as an accountability and a transparency bill. It's absolutely needed whether there's a revenue portion or a revenue bill that comes up from the House or not, and
Can this thing exist without one?
Absolutely.
It can?
It's a completely separate bill.
We're in special session. So how is it possible? I thought special was all about the initial bill.
It's all about transportation funding. If you read the call, it's all about transportation bill funding.
So this fits that definition.
It does, absolutely, and was included in the governor's call for that reason. And this bill will likely be brought up and passed by the House prior to bringing up any revenue bill. The House is adamant, and we in the Senate are certainly adamant.
So oversight comes before the vote on money.
You better believe it.
All right. So this comes out of the Senate, goes to the House. You think day tomorrow
I think you're going to see a vote on both of those bills by the end of the week in the House. Then
okay.
They will come to the Senate if they get out of the House, and that's still an if, and then they will come to the Senate. We'll take them up there.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about when you said special is about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, infrastructure. To a lot of us, we just think infrastructure, that's roads and bridges, but also part of this funding for the deepening and widening and the turnaround of the ship channel, the turnaround basin, and some ancillary work along the docks, right?
Sure.
And also, we'll get into internet things in a little bit, but let's talk about what's right there in our own backyard. When this came out, and it's probably something that was published and talked about a long time ago, it just didn't seem to have the awareness of people like me and the public that this was a thing. And people are, I think, slowly chewing this up and saying, "Why is?" I thought it was roads and bridges.
Well, it is roads and bridges, but it's infrastructure as a whole. And the state docks are a great example of infrastructure. While it may be concentrated geographically, but serves the entire state, and it serves the metallurgical coal industry, everything coming down the Blackwater River. It serves the poultry and egg industry. We ship a ton of frozen chickens to Cuba and Russia every week out of the state docks. The entire forest products industry, all of the lumber and pulpwood and fluff fiber that they've got. It all comes out of the state docks. Not to mention the automobile industry with the new roll-on, roll-off terminal that's being constructed now at the state docks, the Ro-Ro terminal, if you've heard of that. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There are benefits all across the state to investing in our port, no question about it. Now, here's the fun part, okay? The project is probably $600 to $800 million.
Okay.
This is capped at $150 million. The rest of it's...
The portion of the revenue that come in from a gas tax is capped at $150.
$150. It's a little over $10 million a year, and it's capped. Can't go over $150 million. So the point is the balance of that money is coming from the Fed. Senator Shelby has it teed up. Mm-hmm. Ready to go. So that's $600 to $800 million of investment that will absolutely, and they're still putting the final number on what it's going to cost. But that money's there, ready to go. So we're taking that $150 million if this passes, and having the match ready to go for Senator Shelby to who is in this once in a lifetime position.
Head of appropriations, yeah,
no question about it, to make that money come here. So we are taking $150 million and turning it into $600 to $800 million real quick, and that's hard to argue with. It really is, and it's good for the entire state of Alabama.
All right, coming right back. More. We are live in Montgomery with Midday Mobile, talking to State Senator Chris Elliott. Also, take your text. Text line's open. I've got it, I think, dialed in here. Look at there. Through the fantastic internet here in Secretary of State John Merrill's office, I've got your text. So you can drop them at 343-0106, and we'll ask them when we get back.
Gas tax.
If it had a problem at 5 cents, it certainly should have a double problem or more at 12 or 15%.
Sean Sullivan is in Montgomery on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Montgomery, and it is special session all about infrastructure work. And State Senator District 32 Chris Elliott has left a committee meeting, right, and headed on over into. By the way, if you didn't catch it this morning, we are doing the show live. We have busted up into Secretary of State John Merrill's office because he has the best internet here on Goat Hill, and so we're doing our shows from right here in his office. And he's going to join us here next hour, and I want to thank him again, because honest to goodness, we have taken over his office, and it's pretty cool of him to let us do that. Okay, let's talk about I'm looking through text here. Says okay, this one here, y'all talking about the port. Why isn't the tax taken at the port? I guess on bunker fuel or something like that. I don't know, like.
Sure, and that's a completely reasonable question. I mean, why not raise fees at the port? Why not charge the shippers more? Why not do all of those things? And at the end of the day, this is partially about economic development. It really is. This is the low shipping costs at the port make Alabama industries more competitive globally.
Okay.
It makes us more competitive statewide when we start talking about the automobile industry, the forest products industry, the poultry and egg industry, the coal industry, everything else, and all those employees that work for all of those industries. If your shipping costs are lower, then we're more competitive globally. And that makes Alabama businesses and Alabama industries and Alabama workers more competitive globally.
All right.
And that's the answer to that question.
Okay, good. Let's talk about the revenue side of this, because we did talk about the oversight. You said on the oversight, you're a yes vote.
No question, absolutely. It needs to be done. It should have been a long time ago.
Okay. What about on the revenue side? 10 cents?
Yeah, it is. And it's still that 622. I will tell you this, Sean. I'm an infrastructure guy. I believe in infrastructure. We absolutely have to have it. It is critical for our continued economic development. I will tell you that if you look at the facts, you will see declining revenues from fuel tax statewide. They continue to go down. We're driving more fuel-efficient vehicles. The revenues continue to go down. It's important to note we're talking about cents on a gallon, not percent on a gallon.
Right. As I've said that 10 times, but I'll let you say it, because people say, man, when the gas prices go back up, it's going to increase. It's fixed.
It's fixed. It's cents per gallon. And at some point, this really – it is math, and I would encourage people to just stop and at least acknowledge that. You can still be against it, and you can still be mad, and I get that. But at some point, understand that the revenue from this is going down. The revenue that we have on hand to fix our roads, to improve our roads, continues to decrease every single
because
year.
Because it's the efficiency. Because people make the argument and have called many times and said, wait. There are more cars on the road, so therefore there should be more revenue coming in because there's more gallons burned.
Well, and the revenue is going down because we're burning less fuels
for more cars.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we'll do a Baldwin County analogy because I like Baldwin County analogies. Okay,
that's good. I can understand
so
that.
We've got all this growth in Baldwin County, right? Mm-hmm. All these new people. We're adding $40,000 to $42,000 people every single decade in Baldwin County.
Okay,
think about that for a second. Our gas tax revenues are flat. Even with all that growth, all those additional cars, all those additional people, the gas tax revenues are flat.
Wait a second. So 92 was the last time there was a hike in the gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me Baldwin County is adding 42,000 people every 10 years.
And gas tax revenues in Baldwin County are near flat.
That's one of the more significant statistics I've heard on this. Okay, so and you're saying the same thing's going on statewide.
Same thing's going on statewide, only that we don't have the increase in population statewide, right? We've got a decrease in population statewide. We've got more efficient fuel economy in our vehicles. Okay, we've got increased construction costs on roads. That inflation continues to hit those construction costs on roads as well.
There was no index built in for inflation on the 92 passage.
There wasn't, no. And there is on this one, and it's controversial, and I don't like it. I'll just go ahead and say that right now. So
you say you don't like, and I know it's because it's a heavier lift now, and you're doing the job that somebody won't have to do later. I get that. But isn't it better that in the future we're not readdressing something and we're dealing with it that it would be tied to the cost of building the roads?
Listen, I get the logic, and it makes it a whole lot easier for the folks that come
down the road. They're going to love y'all for this, yeah.
But listen, what other revenue source do you know that increases automatically forever?
Other than the toll on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge.
Oh, hush. That's not it. I knew you were going there. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist. But really, I mean, it goes on forever, and it increases every year. And I'm sorry, but that's why you have elections to vote for people
I don't want it to increase every year, but if it was tied to a real number.
It is. It's tied to a real number. It'll be less than 1% a year, or 1 cent a year, I think is what it is.
And by the way, somebody's asking, so right now, and several texts here, we're paying 20.09 cents a gallon, I think is what it is, right?
18, I thought, was where we
were. Well, okay, maybe that changed, because I thought 18.79 cents a gallon in Mississippi, I think. I think Alabama's 20 point something. And then, because somebody said the other day, well, we'd lose all the money in gas to Florida. Y'all don't do that. That's bad math. Florida's 41.49 cents a gallon.
Well, and that's important to note, too. I mean, with this, where we are now, we're paying lower taxes than we are surrounding states. We'll continue to pay lower than most of our surrounding states. If you just look at the facts, then this is not necessarily bad. Now, here's where it is a problem for me. I'm a good conservative Republican, and that means I'm a low-tax guy. It doesn't mean I'm a no-tax guy. It means I'm a low-tax guy. Government should be limited. It should be limited to public safety, public infrastructure, and public schools. That's where we ought to be focused.
Right.
Well, this is one of those three-legged stools. There's no question about it. And we're seeing revenue decrease year after year. We're seeing expenses go up and up and up. We're seeing an economy that is booming in spite of road conditions mm-hmm. that are in pretty bad shape. And we've got an opportunity to address this. What I want to make sure is if we do this, that we have the best accountability we can possibly have, that we have serious conversations about return on investment, that we're not doing some if we build it, they will come road out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
That we're actually making investments where they will return on investment. And that at the end of the day, I can show my constituents this is worth it. You've gotten a return on your investment in this bill.
Just joining us, talking to State Senator Chris Elliott. This texture says, what about millions of gas tax money transferred out? Example, $60 million a year transferred out to hire state troopers for 10 years, plus other that we don't know about. I don't know the stuff we don't know about.
Okay, so fair point. Now, there's a big discussion about that. I will tell you, that's specifically allowed for in the law. Okay, it's for traffic enforcement, and that's one of the things that the gas tax can be used for is for state troopers. I mean, that's what's...
Well, and we are at a... If the numbers are right, we're below where we should be by a significant amount in state troopers.
No question about it. No question about it. So is there money being transferred out of this fund to provide for state troopers? Absolutely. Is it something that's provided for in the law currently and has been for long, 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 long time? Yes, absolutely. That's the that's part of the funding source for Aaliyah. Now, will we end up probably in the governor's budget is going to have about half of that coming out of the ETF, the Education Trust Fund. I think she's headed in the right direction with
that. How y'all going to get that across the wall?
Well, I think...
I'm interested. I mean...
Sure. It will be interesting to see how that works. The budget chairmen are going to have to all get on the same page with that, but I think there is a desire...
You got my attention. You see that, right?
I do. Yeah. I absolutely do. And listen, I'm going to get it a little bit further because we're going to talk about offsets here in a minute. That's okay. A small one. That's a little one. That's a $30 million offset. Well, we're talking about $300 million in this bill. I'm a big believer, and the Republican Party passed a resolution in favor of this, and I am a big believer in offsets. I believe in low taxes, not no taxes, low taxes, but I also believe that we ought to be, while this is good, infrastructure is good, this is one of the three legs of the stool that government actually ought to be doing, we ought to make darn sure that we offset it somewhere else. That we are looking under every single rock.
What taxes would you cut? What would you cut?
I think sales tax is a reasonable place to look. Yes, that impacts the ETF.
Changing the full freight on groceries?
Groceries is a place to look. Sales tax that goes beyond groceries, I'll go ahead and say I'm looking at that.
6% for the state?
I'm looking at that. I want to offset $300 million in taxes. I want to offset that. I am actively looking for places to do that.
But doesn't, I mean, I know there's a degree of the gas taxes having people coming through our state paying in that aren't taking out. But is that enough to make up? Because if you tell me you want to cut, if we need this money for the budget and then we're going to cut this money elsewhere, aren't we just robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Yes, but that's what we talk about all day long, all the time. We talk about earmarking and how crazy it is to have two budgets and what, this is how you do it. This is exactly how you move money from one budget to the other, is you raise this one and lower this one. So, yes, it is horse trading. There's no question about it. But until you and I can figure out how to un-earmark everything in state government, which we've had plenty of conversations about, and I don't think we're any closer to doing it.
Nothing's changed, huh?
This is how you do it. You do it through offsets. And you have a realistic conversation about where can we find waste, where can we find money that is probably not as important. Governing is about setting priorities. Roads, bridges, the port, are important priorities. There are other things in state government that eat up just as many dollars that, in my mind, are not as important from a priority standpoint.
All right. Well, I know we're up against a hard news break. I know you got tomorrow. Got to get you back?
Sure.
Okay. Come back with me tomorrow because we get a whole bunch of questions here. We'll have to go back to your analogy, or not analogy, just the straight numbers out of Baldwin County with the flat revenue because. You got some people's attention, and we got to get those questions answered. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Chris Elliott, State Senator, joining us right here on Midday Mobile. We come back, we'll take you to Jimmy Lyons and the Port of Mobile. They're part of this package. Why should you care? Well, I think Jimmy Lyons will tell you next.
I am willing to call you, the members of the Alabama Legislature, into a special session if necessary.
Governor Ivey calls a joint session to pass a gas tax increase.
We need to rebuild Alabama's infrastructure.
Sean Sullivan is live in Montgomery on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Director and CEO of the Alabama State Port Authority, Jimmy Lyons, joining us now. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. And I want to kind of get into a conversation that we've been having here about infrastructure in the state and also how that revenue comes in. I had State Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh on earlier, and he said, you know, infrastructure, Sean, not only roads and bridges, it also means ships, channels, ports, and he even said internet connectivity. So how does the port play into this? And let's talk about if you're making the case to people right here at home or around the state of Alabama, make your case to why they need to sign on and pass this bill.
Well, the from the port standpoint, what this will do will provide the funding for the state match for the federal money. So number one, we're getting a significant chunk of federal money that will go towards this project. Senator Shelby is very committed to deepening the port. He recognizes the value. The ships, you know, quite honestly, I've been in the business for over 40 years, and 10 years ago, if you told me that we would have the size ships that are coming into Mobile today, I'd have said you're full of it. You know, it's just not true. But we're seeing them. We've got already ships that are capable of coming in and out at 50 feet. They're going in and out now at 44 feet, which is all, you know, all they'll safely navigate the channel with. We're dredged to 45. They want some under keel clearance. And with one of our carriers that's coming out of Asia has just announced they're rotating in that same size ship beginning now, and probably we'll have all 12 ships replaced in that rotation. Others are doing the same thing. And what happens with the bigger ships, quite truthfully, is it doesn't, you know, provide any money for the Alabama State Port Authority. What it does, though, is it provides an economy of scale for the shippers, the companies that use our port, which are numerous. It lowers their cost of trading in the global marketplace. Just like if you're going to the public beach and you pay $5 for a car to go on to the park, if you've got four people, that's $1.25 a people. If you got one, it costs you $5. So if you get those extra people are going at a much cheaper rate. So the same thing happens with shipping. And if you can put a lot more containers on a larger ship, it make you take a little bit more gas, more fuel to propel that ship. The ship may cost a little bit more, but the crew size is the same. The insurance is very little difference, and all these other things. So there's very little incremental cost, but a tremendous amount of benefit. And that's where it's going to benefit the state of Alabama. For the Mobile audience alone, the container terminal, when we started handling containers about 10 years ago, we had about 120 Union longshoremen working in the Port of Mobile. Now we have over 400, and those are good paying wages. The average wage for the longshoremen working these ships, because they get a straight time wage for 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, but the rest of it's overtime, and the ship's going to work whenever they come in, and inevitably they come in at night, they come in on the weekend. And so the average wage for the longshoremen working the ships is over $46 an hour.
Wow.
And and then you talk about all the ancillary services that work around the tugboats, the line handlers, the freight forwarders, the truckers, all of these other people that work in and around the port. There's thousands of people that are employed making good wages and going out and spending their money on in the restaurants and the grocery stores and whatnot. So it's a tremendous multiplier. We don't have an economic number for the incremental jobs that are created by the port in the Mobile County area, the Mobile, say, your listening audience, but statewide there's about over 130,000 people that have a relationship to the port that has to do with their employment. And if you look back at some of the recent projects that we've had in Mobile County, if you look at Airbus, if you look at AM&S Calvert, which was formerly ThyssenKrupp, Outokumpu, that was formerly ThyssenKrupp, all very successful companies are employing thousands of people. They wouldn't be here if it weren't for the port. And there will be more to come. Walmart, they're employing over 600 people now. They would not be here if it weren't for the port and the container terminal. So there's just thousands of people that are employed in this area as a result of the port and the port's efforts to go out and recruit business. We're, at the end of the day, we're nothing but an economic development entity, and anything that makes us more competitive makes Mobile, makes Alabama more competitive.
I think that's, and if you're just joining us, talking to Director of Alabama State Port Authority, Jimmy Lyons, about deepening and widening of the channel. And you said something that you are, as a as an entity, you're really there to promote what's happening. You're there to make things better. So how does revenue come in right now to the port? You know, we're talking about this deepening and widening, but I've had several questions, people saying, well, how do they get money now, and why is it not enough to do these expansions?
Well, the way we get money now is we charge fees to the ships that come in. We charge a fee for the cargo that moves through our ports, and we use that to pay our 508 employees and pay our insurance, pay our power bills, pay bond debt service. We have built a lot in my short 20 years here. We have invested over $1 billion in infrastructure just here recently, starting in 2016 and up through this year. We will be investing another $100 million in the container terminal, and some of that's with debt, some of that's with working with private sector, some of it's with our cash. And so every dime that we earn gets put back into these facilities. And you got to think about it, we've got some facilities out here that were part of the original construction and are 90 years old. And so maintenance and maintaining these facilities, we have done a lot of channel improvements along with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, again, getting federal money where we put up the match, and the Port Authority actually put the match up. And the turning basin, as an example, doesn't sound like a big deal, but if you bring in an 1,100-foot-long ship, you've got to be able to turn it around to come back down the channel. And before we put the turning basin in, we could not take these ships. And we have them now coming in several times a week of that size. The Carnival Cruise Line ship cannot turn in the older turning basins. They turned, and in the new one we built in 2010, and we put in $10 million to do that. So we did that, and at the same time we built the slab terminal to bring ThyssenKrupp in here. That was a $100 million investment that we made. The Port Authority didn't cost the taxpayers a dime, and that we put that terminal in, and that brought ThyssenKrupp and thousands of people that work up there. And so that was done with. I heard somebody comment somewhere on a newspaper article that, you know, ThyssenKrupp went bankrupt. Well, they didn't go bankrupt. It was sold out to a stronger company. And they're more successful than ever and employing much more than ThyssenKrupp promised.
All right, we'll pause just for a second here. My conversation with Jimmy Lyons, CEO of the Alabama Port Authority. We're coming right back. More of that conversation, talking about the port, talking about infrastructure and the gas tax. I'm live in Montgomery right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Once again, live from Montgomery, here's Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Let's get back into it. The second half of my conversation with Jimmy Lyons from the Mobile Port Authority. Jimmy, what do you tell people in other parts of the state, right? You mentioned it. You mentioned the number of people with the related jobs. But, you know, we know down at our end of the state, we know we're connected because we watch that Mobile River drain right into the bay and all the five rivers of the Delta draining the bay. But if you're talking to somebody who's in Huntsville, who's in Sylacauga, who's in Tuscaloosa, who's in, you know, anywhere in the state of Alabama, how do you make the case to them that they when they're pumping gas up there, wherever they are, that this makes a difference to their jobs? You just explained how it makes a difference to me in Mobile, but what about the rest of them?
Well, the difference is the companies that use our port because it's competitive. And it gives them a better entry into the global marketplace. You can talk about the paper mill up in Monroeville that exports a substantial amount of their production. So I would say probably close to half of that production, that paper mill in Monroeville, is going into the export market. And so if it weren't for the export market, they couldn't sell that product. So there would be maybe 40% less people working up there because they couldn't run both of those papers. It's actually two mills because it's built in two phases. The second phase was built purely for export. And the sawmills that work all over the state, we export a substantial amount of sawn wood, and a lot of that wood is treated in Abbeville, Alabama, and it comes down here and is loaded on ships and goes into the Caribbean market. If they couldn't come to Mobile, they would be paying, you know, $5 or $6 or $7 a ton more in order to, and that might not make them competitive in those markets. It might be more competitive somewhere else. The chicken houses are companies that take the chicks and grow them into fryers or broilers, and then they're processed here in Alabama. They ship down here, they're blast frozen, and then loaded on ships to go into the export market. We wouldn't be producing the number of chickens here in the state of Alabama or employing the same number of people that we employ. So it goes on and on to all these industries. The Alabama steel industry, we support very heavily with either raw material or exporting finished product. We exported last year about 700,000 to 800,000 tons of Alabama-made steel through a steel terminal that we built in conjunction with a private sector company a couple of years ago at the cost of about $40 million. Again, no taxpayer money involved.
If you're just joining us, talking to a director of the Alabama State Port Authority, Jimmy Lyons, talking about the infrastructure bill, gas tax, and money going to the port. Now, is it a certain amount of money for this match? Like can you give me like percentages? And then, is this something that'll continue coming to the port after that number is met, or how does that all work?
Well, it's kind of a complex deal, but I can kind of just boil it down to you in dollars and cents.
Okay.
Total estimated cost of the deepening, which includes a widening of a passing lane and some slight improvements to the turning basin, total cost is estimated to be $400 million. The state share of that through the formula will be about $150 million. After that, the channel is maintained as it is currently at sole federal expense. So there's no ongoing expense related to this other than and the incremental cost to the federal budget for ongoing maintenance is nominal.
Okay, so once the $150 million is paid back, the bond is paid back on that, then that portion of the gas tax that comes to the port is not coming because you won't need it then, right? You said the Corps or the Feds are going to be.
What the state will do, the state will issue bonds that will cover the local share. And those bonds will be paid out over a period of 20 years. And when that's done, it's done. There's no money else going.
How fast can this project be done? I mean, just you've been around this for a long time, like you said, four decades. Let's say you get the funding now. How long before you have everything to where it needs to be to get these bigger tankers in or these bigger ships in?
Our goal would be to get the project done in 3 years. We've talked to the Corps about it. It's doable. It'll have to be let in multiple contracts, the dredging. But our goal is 3 years. It may take four. And the ships are coming in now. We can't get the full utilization of them till we can get to the 50 feet. But the ships are coming in now. They're coming in and out at 44 feet or 45 feet. They can go another 5 feet deep, and so that gives us. And one of the things we're struggling with is the ships we're having coming in. We're loading as many containers as they can handle, but that's all. We can't load anymore, so we're actually losing business, which means the Alabama companies are having to go somewhere else take the containers at a higher cost.
I think that's an important point that I think a lot of us may not have understood. So those ships are coming in, but right now you got to load them light, for lack of a better term. You and I are going to go fishing, and we're going to go fishing in shallow water. We can't put all the stuff in the boat we want to, right?
Correct. Same principle.
So with that deepening, those same ships will come. We can just, back to the economy of scale discussion, they can just have more cargo on as they come in and as they leave.
Yeah, the same ships, and they can even go to the next two more generations. We have spent a good bit of money at the container terminal getting it ready for not just these 8,000 TEU ships, but we can go up to 13,000 TEUs, which is the size, the biggest ship that can get through the Panama Canal.
Well, that is hopefully the future for our port. And, of course, this is how it is related with the current discussion and special session for infrastructure and the gas tax. Any closing thoughts here? Anything you want to leave people with here in our area or around the state?
No, I would say that, the ports part of it is a very small part of the overall. There's a tremendous amount of benefit. I drove up and back from Montgomery, and you go into some of the state roads and the county roads. The bridges are deficient. The roads are in terrible shape, and we need this. And the overall cost to the taxpayer is a very nominal amount of money on a monthly basis. And like I said, it's half the cost of a lunch at the Dewdrop, I hope everybody can relate to, because I love the Dewdrop. But
it makes me hungry for home.
Very young, I grew up in that neighborhood and used to walk over there and have lunch. So I can relate to that.
Yeah, you're making me hungry for home, but I'll be back by Saturday, and I can probably go by the Dewdrop. Thank you for your time, Jimmy. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, Director and CEO of the Alabama State Port Authority, Jimmy Lyons, right here on Midday Mobile.